Pastor Xavier Rees and the simple truth and true essence of sin.
There is no sin in being tempted, only in giving in to the temptation. Jesus can identify with my temptations and my weaknesses because he knows all things and he went through all things. Jesus is our sympathetic high priest then, who can sympathize with our weaknesses. That's such a great truth for you and I to know.
Welcome to Simple Truths, the daily half-hour study of God's Word with Xavier Rees, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. Scripture says we have a high priest in Christ who can identify with us. But how is that possible if Jesus couldn't sin? That's the question Pastor Xavier explores as he takes us on a deeper tour of the Gospel of Luke. Turn in your Bible to chapter 4 as we join him for an important look at the life of the Savior in today's Simple Truth study titled, The Temptation of Jesus, Part 1.
Luke chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 1 through 13. Jesus has been baptized by John. The Holy Spirit has descended upon him in the form of a dove, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus is literally driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil. Matthew 4:1, Mark 1:12, Luke 4:21 through 22, and 4:1, all recorded. Now, some people think that Satan is an invention of Christians, but he's as real as you and I. Make no mistake that Satan is real. He is alive. He's a deceiver. He's a destroyer. He's the ruler and God of this world, according to the words of Jesus and Paul in John 12:31 and 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan is a rebellious enemy of God, a usurper who has threatened to dethrone God, and it's recorded for us in Isaiah. Just listen to what he says, Isaiah 6:12 through 17. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider and say, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? He's a real person. He's booted out of heaven. He's rebelled against God. He will live eternally in the lake of fire under God's judgment. There will be no redemption for him. And he's the one that's trying to destroy and to take as many people to hell and the lake of fire with him as possible. What we want to do is study the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by Satan to make some very important observations in order to gain insight as to what exactly happened when Jesus was tempted. The temptations of Jesus is recorded in the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So we want to ask four questions about the temptation of Jesus regarding this section. First, how was Jesus tempted? Second, why did Jesus have to be tempted? Third, who was tempted? Fourth, what were the weapons of Jesus to resist the temptation? Let's begin here with the first question. How was Jesus tempted? The book of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 15, tells us the extent of which Jesus was tempted. We are told, and we're to understand, that Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Don't miss that. In every area, level, and way and manner of temptation that might come and by which man can and will forever be tempted, Jesus was tempted. So that no one can say, you don't understand Jesus. The word tempted, as you know, means to test or to try. There is no sin in being tempted, only in giving in to the temptation. That is the reason why the first part of the same verse of Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." Jesus can identify with my temptations and my weaknesses. Each of us are different. What may be a temptation to me is not to you. What is a temptation to you may not be to me. What is a constant struggle and intense warfare to me or to you, Jesus can understand when others will not. He always understands, because he knows all things and he went through all things. Therefore, we're to come boldly unto the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, the next verse says, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is our sympathetic high priest then, who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Man will only be able to do this sometimes, not all the times. Sometimes we will not be able to understand why, and we get frustrated with them or disgusted with them. And some of that may be necessary and true in some cases. But when we don't understand and it's legitimate, God understands when you go to him. That's such a great, great truth for you and I to know. The temptations that befell Jesus can be put into three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life that is recorded in 1 John 2:16. Jesus was first tempted in the area of the physical in verse 3 and 4. The desire of the flesh, the body, as the devil said, "If you be the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Now, there was nothing wrong with Jesus eating. That wasn't the problem. But the areas of the physical has many things that can complicate and destroy our lives in this world, as you know. Yet eating can be a great problem, just basic eating, because we eat more than we need, or we eat the wrong foods. Now, it's not going to send you to hell. It's just going to send you to heaven earlier. That's all. Okay? There is the area of clothing, materialism, sexuality, etc. You fill in the blank. We live in a material world. Everything around us wants to grab us and to demand of us and to tell us that we need it, we want it, and we can have it. Jesus next, in verse 5 and 8, notice, 5 to 8, was tempted in the area of the soul, the desires of the eye, as the devil took him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he declared, "All authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whoever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." The soul comprises of the intellect, the emotion, and the wills, as you know. The emotions conflict our intellect and will to do wrong when we know what is right, in order to satisfy or gratify or to advantage ourselves. This is our sin nature. It's our compulsion. Then Jesus was then tempted in the area of the spirit, the third one. The desire of pride, the pride of life, in verse 9 through 12. As the devil brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you and to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord Yahweh, your God." Verses 9 through 12. He's quoting Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. This implies and includes to pass ourselves off to be more spiritual than we really are, the pride of life. Today, with the social media, everybody's living a dream. They're all stars. Look at me. Pride of life. That's our flesh. Now, the man Adam and the woman Eve were tempted in the very same way, the very same three areas. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, appealing to the body senses, being captivated. The entire purpose of advertising is to convince you that you need what is being presented, then to persuade you to get it. The boys on Madison Avenue over there, they know what they're doing. They spend billions to make trillions. It works. You know, it's like those things late at night. You get this chopper and for $19.99. And if you call right now, you get two of them. And you say, man, I'm going to get it. It works. Secondly, the fruit was pleasant to the eye in Genesis 3:6. The appeal is to the soul, being allured. First captivated, then it's allurement. The confliction of the intellect and will comes through the emotions. When you can analyze something intellectually in a controlled environment, a classroom or something, you're not in it emotionally. It's cool and calm. But when you're in the mix with emotions and adrenaline, that's a whole different thing. You can go through all kinds of things knowing what you would do if someone would pull a gun on you. But then when someone pulls a gun on you, that's a real test. Whether you will do what you've practiced and said you will do. It's a whole different ballgame. You see, the fruit was pleasant to the eye, the appeal to the soul, the allurement, bringing her and us to be slaves to the physical wants of the body. To live for the body. Yet the body is just a body in itself, but it's our fallen nature through our intellect, emotion, and the will. Then thirdly, the tree to desire to make one wise was the appeal to the spirit, being deceived, because the spirit brings union with God. To rebel against that is disunion, separation from God. The spirit is what makes us one with God. This body is physical. It'll go back to the ground. My soul, intellect, emotion, and will. And third, my spirit, that's the real me. Being born again, the spirit's alive. That's what makes me one with God. I have fellowship with Him. The spiritual deception is to be like God, to know more or better than God. Has God said you will die? Creating doubt. Every human being is tempted in these three areas. There is no exception or exemption to anybody from the garden on to the present day. The unbeliever is spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. The believer still has a sin nature, but he has a divine nature that by the grace of God enables him to escape the corruption. And when God allows us to be tested, He will show us the way of escape in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, I love that verse and I hate that verse. I love the verse because I know that no matter what God allows or whatever God brings to my life, that I'm able to overcome if I depend upon Him. But if I don't, and I don't take the way of escape or the enablement, then when I fail and I sin, it's my fault completely, not God's. John tells us, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world, in 1 John 2:16. This is the way the world functions, because of sin nature, because of Adam. Paul puts it this way, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Galatians 5, 16, and 17. We live in tension as believers. We have a sin nature, still, and we have the new divine nature. It's a good tension. But like that plane that is flying above, it's exerting the laws of aerodynamic, canceling out the laws of gravity. But not for 1 second does that pilot believe that the laws of gravity have gone away. He only knows that he can be protected from the dangerous laws of gravity as long as that principle of aerodynamics is being exerted. Because it's a higher law than that of gravity. If he pulls back on those throttles, quickly he'll find out the law of gravity is still there. And we as believers live with that tension always until we go home with the Lord. Now, the contrast between the temptations of Adam and Eve and the ones of Jesus are important. Luke 4:2 tells us that Jesus was being tempted for the 40 days and then the three major ones came. Adam and Eve had only one temptation. Mark 1:13 says Jesus was with the wild beast. Adam and Eve were in the garden with tame animals. Matthew and Luke both tell us that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Matthew 4:2 and Luke 4:2. Adam and Eve did not. Fasting is to be done due because you are so concerned about what God is dealing or you need wisdom that you just give yourself to God, and it's not a matter of showing God how much you're sacrificing. Now Luke tells us that Satan departed at the end of the text in verse 13 for a season till a better opportunity. Remember that Satan will always come back when you and I are most vulnerable. When you're by yourself, when you're bummed down, when you've just had an argument with your wife or your husband, you fill in the blank. He'll always come back at a more opportune time when you are weak and vulnerable. Nothing is said about Adam and Eve, and though we can see that both temptations were identical in body, soul, and spirit, we can also see that the circumstances of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, were not as favorable. The temptation of Jesus were more severe, much more severe. This is the way Jesus was tempted. The second question, why did Jesus have to be tempted? First, to demonstrate that the first Adam did not have to fail. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Adam was created in the state of innocence with a free will. He was given direct commands. He had the capacity to obey or disobey. The consequences affected the entire human race. Romans 5:12 says, sin passed by one man, and through sin death passed to all men. He was a federal head for the human race. Each person has the same choice to Christ now. Some says, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to get Adam. Well, you can't blame Adam anymore. You have the same choice. Either you believe that Jesus Christ died in your place and you can escape eternal separation from God, or you can continue in Adam. So you can't blame Adam anymore. You have a decision to make. Jesus is called the last Adam in contrast to the first Adam. Never call Jesus the second Adam, because that would mean that there was a potential for a third, fourth, and fifth. It's first and last Adam. Jesus was like the first Adam prior to the fall. The first man is of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven, 1 Corinthians 15:47. So the first man, Adam, was in a state of innocence with a free will. The second man, Jesus, was just like the first Adam with a free will. So you can say Jesus is the second man, but never the second Adam. Okay? And it's very important that you make that. There's only the first and the last Adam. The first man, Adam, of the earth. The second man, from heaven. God became man. John 1:14. Now, the second reason is to show us that we too can overcome and resist Satan and his emissaries and temptations, who can transform themselves into angels of light, as 2 Corinthians 11:14 and 15 tells us. We will see that as Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness, it is a testimony to us that we have no excuse for failing. I am not teaching that we're going to reach some point of perfectionism or sinlessness. That's not what the Bible teaches. It'll never happen. But that we have no excuse or justification for our sin, because we will see that Jesus resisted and overcame Satan as man, depending on the Father for our example, never using his deity as God. When we understand that, then you resist against sin a little more because you have no excuse. James 4, 7 and 8 gives us some very practical things. The first step is submit yourself, therefore, to God. The second step is resist the devil. Both must take place. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil. If you submit to God without resisting the devil, you're just taking the devil with you before God. The promise is, and he will flee from you. Both things must happen. The third step is draw near to God, and the promise is he will draw near to you. Then the fourth step is cleanse your heart. You're double-minded. So those things have to happen also. Satan, though he has been kicked out of heaven partially right now, he is a very powerful archangel. A cherub, probably. He could be an archangel, but a cherub. Second to God. Michael the archangel said, "The Lord rebuke you." He kept the Lord between him and Satan. So if Michael keeps the Lord between him and Lucifer, the devil, Satan, that's good counsel for you and I. We're no match for Satan in our flesh. If he comes to us in the spirit, then God will enable us. Now, I don't think I've ever confronted Satan, because he can only be at one place at one time. So he probably limits himself to the rulers of the world that he deceives. Most of us are probably hassled just by his fallen angels, demons. Now, the third reason is to destroy the work of the devil. 1 John 3:8 tells us that. The devil has sinned from the beginning. The entire human race has fallen due to Satan's deception of Eve. The entire human race has brought on itself corruption and destruction. When you're a Christian, you see it clearly. Before, you say, you have your own little philosophy. But once you're a Christian, Genesis chapter 3 makes all the sense in the world. It explains the world, why it is the way it is. Sin nature. The devil has sought to entice man to sin from the beginning. Those who reject the gospel remain deceived and slaves of sin. Those who put their trust in Jesus are freed, no longer being slaves of sin. Even though they still have sin nature, they don't have to be subject or controlled by it. But the fourth reason is to prove that Jesus was Messiah, to prove his messiahship. Jesus said, "The ruler of this world comes and he has nothing in me," in John 14:30. Nothing in me. There was nothing to control Jesus. There was nothing to accuse him. He was sinless. There Jesus faced Satan, literally, face to face, not just in his mind. It wasn't just the mental testing. It wasn't just a visionary thing. It was face to face, one on one. These are a few of the reasons why Jesus had to be tempted.
Pastor Xavier Rees and the Battle for Obedience. Simple truths he draws from our continued study series of the Gospel of Luke. Now you can hear this message again anytime online by simply selecting today's date at the radio listings link you'll find at calvarychapelpasadena.com. But there's still much more to come right here next time as well. Now if you won't be able to tune in though, you can always pick up your own copy of this study on CD for just $4. The title to request is The Temptation of Jesus Part 1. And why not share it with a friend when you're through? Once again, the title to ask for is The Temptation of Jesus, Part 1, or simply mention today's date. You can request your copy by writing Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. Or to make your request by phone, call 800-926-1485. Again, that's 800-926-1485. Or the address once again is Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107.
And thanks for helping us by mentioning the call letters of this station when you get in touch. This helps us track the effectiveness of this ministry in your area. If God cannot sin, then how can Jesus be tempted? More on that next time on Simple Truths with Pastor Xavier Reese. Simple Truths with Pastor Xavier Reese, a daily half-hour broadcast, is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. www.calvarychapelpasadena.com